dresses. She had a chance to make it big more than once or twice, but no dice, she wasn't very nice. We'll be right back.
siente muy pronto va a acabar. Encontró trabajo, es buscar cura cubana. Donde él vive, no quiere la raza. Living just enough for the city.
You're tuned in to CJAM 99.1 FM and listening to Revolution Rock. I'm Adam here with Dave, and we are celebrating an anniversary. In fact, a fantastic anniversary of a fantastic album, 50 years of Inner Visions by Stevie Wonder. This album was originally released all the way back on August 2nd, 1973. And, you know, especially with Stevie having that strong Detroit connection, we figured, why not? I mean, in addition to it being a vastly influential and incredible record, there's that local connection. So, of course, we want to, you know, recognize that. But we ended off, again, not with Stevie Wonder proper, but with some covers, particularly another Detroit connection. We heard from the Dirt Bombs.
Yeah, honestly, this is such a great record, and we've played it a lot, and we were talking about it during the break. It's a great record, and I think they did do a small, limited reissue run back in 2020 when it was the 10th anniversary through In the Red. I wish I would have saw that, because this is a record I listen to all the time. Ultra Glide in Black, what Mick Collins and the Dirt Bombs did is he took a lot of his favorite soul and funk songs and he reworked them in a Dirt Bomb style. And this is one of the songs he did, Living for the City.
And, you know, honestly, it's one of the best songs Stevie Wonder ever wrote. It went on to influence so much, just not in terms of R&B, but also rock music, experimental music, especially because of him working with this Tonto, which was a basically what he called a synthetic orchestra, which was kind of like a processor with a keyboard that just was able to emit a lot of different tones and sounds. Like, really, when you look at the innovations of synth rock, of experimental electronic music, even though Stevie Wonder isn't often, included in that camp, he was hugely influential in that.
We should also say, this album was made, what year? 73?
73.
So, he was using synthesized instruments. It was still a new thing. And we were looking at the credits. Stevie Wonder plays, I think, every instrument on the track we played to start off the set. But he played Moog bass, which is like a synthesizer bass, a very early version of that, and a lot of other things that at the time weren't being done.
Exactly, you know, and it's also important to keep in mind that this was not an early record of his. This was his 16th studio record.
Yeah.
So by this time, he definitely had enough under his belt to really understand really all the instruments to get tone right. I mean, even from the onset, he had such massive hits as this young artist, but then, yeah, you look at what he was able to do with these songs. It's incredible. You know, before we get to Stevie Wonder's track, the one that he recorded and performed for us, actually, before the Dirt Bombs, we heard another cover, this one by Ike and the late, great Tina Turner from their original gold compilation, Higher Ground. Now, of course, Higher Ground is probably the best-known song from this record, yeah, and arguably one of the best, funkiest songs you'll ever hear. This cover was recorded in 1974, so just 1 year after the original.
And since, it has been covered by many, many bands. It's a very popular song. And this version is really great. And, I don't have too much else to add to that version. It kind of They gave it their own Ike and Tina Turner style.
Exactly. You know, Stevie could make things very smooth, very celestial feeling, I think is a good term for it. Like, you almost get a sense that he's communicating his thoughts through space or through, like, an astral plane. But Tina, her vocals are just grit and gravel, and I love how rough it is on that rendition of Higher Ground. Now, we started things off with the opening track from Inner Visions, Too High, and as Dave was mentioning, he actually played all the instruments on this. There were background vocalists, but Stevie Wonder played, as Dave mentioned, the Moog bass, harmonica, drums, electric piano, Fender Rhodes, of course, and then provided the lead vocals. And then he would contribute multiple instrumental contributions to all the songs. In fact, he pretty much was the sole musician on the entire album.
On a lot of the songs, yeah. Not everyone, but almost everyone. Yeah.
So you look at somebody who, of course, the big thing about Stevie Wonder, I mean, people looked at him as a bit of a novelty when he came out, because not only did he have this incredible voice and seemed like a savant, you know, being visually impaired, a lot of people were just in awe that he could be this multi-talented musician and play so many different instruments. Regardless of visual impairment, like, that's just an incredible feat for anyone. And I think the thing that really makes a linchpin for this album, is the songwriting. Yeah. It's incredibly strong songwriting that's satiric, that looks at social issues, that looks at a lot of rougher topics, that definitely, I think, were introduced by the likes of people like Curtis Mayfield and also Marvin Gaye on some albums that was proceeding within the year or two before the release of this one, really just opening up R&B to say, hey, there's a lot of deep subject matter and material that can be tackled. You know, for that, I think this album is definitely worth celebrating 50 years of. It is probably Stevie Wonder's best record, arguably. I mean,
he has a lot of good ones,
but, yes, you know, this is definitely up there. You know, I would say it's strong contender. Maybe people can argue between this and two other records, possibly. But yeah, fantastic stuff. So glad to play some material from this and those great covers. And we do have some other anniversaries coming up, but before we get to those, we're going to play some newer material, starting off actually with a song that was just released earlier this year from an album titled Crossing Visual Field, from a band that, of course, we have played before, Mono Negatives.
We've played them a lot. So we're playing another track from this album, Crossing Visual Field, because this week, or last week, depending when you're listening, a few days ago, they made the album available to purchase on vinyl, which you can now do. You can do it through Dowd Records if you're in the US or the UK, and also if you're in Canada, you can message the band directly and they can help set up a shipping for you that's not as pricey as getting it from the UK. They also recently played a show in Toronto a few days ago, which was their official album release show, I guess, with the Spits and a few other bands in Toronto. So really cool stuff, and just a really cool band. Rob, who fronts the band, is in quite a number of bands, but this one leans more towards the synth punk style. And in this set, we're going to have a couple synthy punky tracks. So maybe we should get to it. We're going to start off with this track called Deficit on Revolution Rock.
I know the leaves are green. Come on.
skin. Takes no magic for the egg to alive. It's an image lit on a video screen. And I'm wrapped and it's serious to me. Final red, no drug to blame. To the blue light came for everyone to see.
History's at an end. Profane transmission.